"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app. On from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell Show on demand. That's the podcast version on the iHeart app. Now, you may remember some weeks ago out in the Mojave Desert, they found lots of dead bodies. 6 people shot dead, 4 of them burned. And one was shot inside a car, and they only identified at the time 4 of the 6 victims, according to the story I had. And but here's the newest twist: 5 other guys have been arrested in connection with the deaths. So we have 5 arrests over the 6 deaths, all men, and. What's the reason for all this? Well, we're going to talk to Blake Trolley, KFI News, see what he knows.
Yeah, so John, just to backtrack a little bit here, these are still the 5 guys that were arrested in January, but what we are learning now is that this shooting and that these killings were likely the result of a larger border issue. Just to recap, as you said, back in January, 6 people were shot and killed in El Mirage in what investigators was saying was a turf war over marijuana. This happened in a really remote area that's a hot spot for illegal marijuana grows. In this case, you had 2 cars parked for what may have been a meetup when it sounds like the guys in the cars were ambushed. The shooting was actually called in by one guy who tried to make a run for it and collapsed. So his body was found the next day a short distance away. Another guy was found in one of the 2 parked cars. And then, as you mentioned, 4 of the bodies, this would be the other 4 people, were burned. It appears now that just about everybody except for one guy involved in the shooting, so this would be both the suspected shooters and the victims, was in the country illegally. Preliminary information from the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department now shows that all 5 alleged shooters were here illegally from Mexico. 2 were living in Apple Valley and 3 were living in Adelanto. Of the people shot, we're now being told that 2 were here from Honduras, 1 from El Salvador, and 2 from Mexico. Now, on the victim side, one of those people, we're not exactly sure who, we just know that it's somebody in that group, was here with a work visa. So I do want to make that distinguishment. Now, even as of today, I had asked San Bernardino County Sheriff Shannon Dykus, if this appears to be a cartel-involved crime. He wouldn't go as far as to confirm that, but here's where things are at right now.
Really, the evidence you see, it's most, you know, cartel homicides, the burning of the bodies and the thing, there are a number of consistencies based on our training and experience that appear to be related to a cartel. But to get that confirmation, that will come from the federal government side of this. as they continue to do their portion of the investigation.
So you got the sheriff's department investigating the murders of these people, because that is the local issue, is the murders. Now, as far as all the immigration status goes, how these guys were in the country, where they were at, you know, as far as it goes with customs, all of that is being handled by the Department of Homeland Security and the feds.
So we don't know how long they've been living here and operating their businesses.
No, we don't. And, you know, John, this case really presents the question. It, you know, I know Sheriff Shannon Dykus came out saying that this, you know, shows a need to possibly change marijuana laws. But now there is also a question. Do sanctuary state laws need to be altered to go after the illicit marijuana market? You know, laws passed in 2018 in California, so this would be SB 54. They blocked the sheriff's departments and really all police departments from being able to coordinate with federal immigration police on lower level crime. Well, marijuana falls into that category. So I was speaking with Shannon Dykus earlier today, and he said if it wasn't for SB 54, when deputies go out on these illegal marijuana grows, they'd be able to kick out a lot of the workers, because a lot of the workers came here illegally. And Sheriff Dykus is saying they'd be able to prevent human trafficking on these farms. Listen to this.
It is not uncommon where we see the human trafficking side of the illicit marijuana production. Many people that come across the border are illegal immigrants, and at the same time, maybe they were tasked with, this is how they work off their transportation to get across the border.
So Dykus is saying,
that California law keeps law enforcement from rescuing all the people trafficked and forced into labor on these marijuana farms?
Well, it definitely makes it harder for them to investigate, because they can't ask any questions on their immigration status. And right now, as you just heard, a lot of people are coming over here and they're told to work on these farms. What I can tell you, John, is that on the farm I was on back in 2021, the living quarters in this farm looked pretty inhumane. And I had suspected that there was some sort of human trafficking on this farm. I know it wasn't questioned, but it appeared so. I mean, people were sleeping in these like wood hut boxes out in the desert.
Well, yeah. I mean, you just have to use your eyes and you can see what's going on here, is these guys are being smuggled in and they're being forced as farm labor to work on the marijuana farms. And there's probably a lot of people who don't understand that if we legalize marijuana, why is there such a huge illegal marijuana market there, that they have these massive farms and all these workers and you have these drug cartel shootings? And it's because the illegal marijuana is cheaper.
Yeah, it's much cheaper. I mean, even if you go into the city of Los Angeles, you know, I made a whole documentary about this, and it was fascinating to see all the different layers to this. One thing was just the level of taxation that's put on marijuana in California from the moment it's cultivated to when you're actually buying it in a store. And somebody told me even the dispensaries, a lot of the dispensaries you see aren't actually legitimate. And you'll see these sweeps happen in Los Angeles where the LAPD will go in and shut a lot of them down. They look like legitimate stores, but they're selling the illicit product at a lot cheaper price.
All right. They haven't given a hint over which specific cartels may be involved in this.
No, I had asked the sheriff about that, and it sounds like that's going to be part of the federal investigation. So I have reached out to the Department of Homeland Security to try to get more clarity on all those questions you're asking. How long have they been here? You know, how did they get into the country? You know, and does there appear to be any cartel involvement? I mean, investigators here locally are sure not being shy to say, look at this crime. You got six people shot, some bodies burned. This certainly looks like a duck and walks like a duck.
Yeah, I know. And how much of this is out there? How many acres of marijuana fields are growing?
Let me just give you the numbers from 2023, and this might give you an idea, John, of how much of an issue this is out in the desert. And keep in mind, it's not just the violence. I mean, the sheriff did tell me in a recent interview that a lot of times when they find bodies, these things actually lead back to some of these illicit grows. But there's other issues. One of them is carbofuran, which is a pesticide that's used that's highly toxic. In fact, on the ride along I was on, they found this stuff. And they had to call out the hazmat team. I went on another ride along with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and they had talked about how a mountain lion had actually died from eating carbofuran. So highly toxic chemicals. On top of that, water diversion.
Are people smoking these chemicals?
Yeah, these chemicals are getting into the illicit product. So, it's pretty sketchy stuff. Well, anyways, Shannon Dykus says that back in 2023, his department served 411 warrants for illegal marijuana grow sites, recovered 655 plants, and a whopping $370 million. So this is major business out there. And, you know, John, there's other drug issues, especially as it pertains to human trafficking. Last week, I spoke to the sheriff about this. He says that since 2022, deputies on a specialized operation have recovered more than 190 pounds of fentanyl. And get this, more than 2,700 pounds of meth. And he says in a lot of these cases, again, they're blocked from talking to federal immigration officials about this. And this stuff's getting trafficked
by
people that, you know, this is how they're paying off their immigration.
It's just like the federal and the state government are going out of their way to facilitate this massive import of drugs and the farming of drugs here and the human trafficking that goes with it. God, I sometimes I think they must be getting kickbacks. The state legislators and the federal government, they must have a piece of the action because all their decisions make this worse, make it more widespread, more lucrative.
I really want to know where the taxes are going to be at on marijuana. You know, when I made this documentary, I remember that was something that the governor had said when he was rolling out his budget. He was questioned about it by a reporter if he was going to address taxes. And he said he was. This was like a couple years ago. And, you know, it still seems like the taxation on marijuana is obviously high enough to support this illicit market.
Huge black market. All right, Blake. Very good. Thank you very much. For coming on. Blake Trolley, KFI News. I mean, see what's going on here. First of all, we've got a wide open border, right? And then we have this stupid SB 54, which prevents law enforcement from even questioning the illegal alien drug farm workers. You can't question them. You can't find out their immigration status, which limits your ability to find out who is behind this entire business operation. Then you legalize marijuana, but you tax it so heavily that you create a massive illegal market. And then here they come over the border, and these people are forced to work in the fields. This is like when women get dragged over the border and they're forced into prostitution. This is how you pay off the bill for getting smuggled in. And this is all the policies encourage more of this. Massive profits for the drug cartels. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on from 1 till 4 in the after 4 o'clock John Cobalt Show on demand on the iHeart app. Voice line already open, taking your calls for Friday, 877-MOIST-86, 877-MOIST-86. I found this over the weekend, and I've been looking at it because I'm trying to figure out how I can, if I can be able to transmit this effectively so you understand. We all know that Joe Biden's brain and body are failing badly, and he's got no business being president or running for president again. And there's a lot of stupid political partisans who try to say, no, he's vigorous and he's... No, he's shot. And we all know he's shot. Whether you like him or not, he's shot. And remember Robert Hur came out, the special counsel, with an investigative report on Biden and all the classified documents that he had that he never should have taken with him. And it turns out he had documents over 50 years going back to when he was senator, and they were at his house, his main house, the beach home, the vice presidential home at the Naval Observatory. And Hur eventually issued a report where he said that Biden is not going to be prosecuted in part because he didn't think a jury would convict a well-meaning elderly man with, serious memory issues. Well, in the National Review, I think this is either Dan McLaughlin or Andy McCarthy. They both write on legal issues, lawyers, very smart. And they spend the time looking at documents and reading transcripts. And one of them went through the transcript of Robert Hur deposing Joe Biden. And I'm going to read you, it's actually a paraphrase of Joe Biden's response to one single question. It's on page 55. Simple question. Robert Hur asked Biden in what workspaces he kept documents at his vice presidential residence, which is the Naval Observatory. Kamala Harris is living there now. So that's all. It's like, where did you keep the documents when you were living at the Naval Observatory when you were vice president? This would be about 2016. This is a summary of Biden's response. Now, the actual response is 7 pages long. Now, the simple response should be, well, I had a file cabinet in my office. I had several drawers in the basement where I put the files, or something like that. Where do you keep your papers? Well, Biden began by recounting that, quote, I was the guy who wrote the Violence Against Women Act. Then he said that agriculture is a $4 billion industry in Delaware and the Delmarva Peninsula. Then he went on to a law school torts class, and he was applauded for speaking 10 minutes about a case he had not read. Then he said, to make a long story short, he got a job out of law school at a firm in Delaware. And then he said, to make a long story not quite so long, he participated in a case where he was waiting for his bar results. And it was about a poor kid who was down a 100-foot vessel chimney scraping hydrogen bubbles off the inside, but he was wearing the wrong pants, the wrong jeans, and then a spark caught fire, and he was caught in the containment vestibule, and he lost part of his penis and one of his testicles, and he was 23 years old. This is just a summary of all the topics. This is only part of it, right? 7 pages long. So every one of those lines I read had a longer story attached to it. Then he talks about the senior partner told Biden to write a memo supporting a motion to dismiss the case, and son of a B, it prevailed. And Biden thought, son of a B, I'm in the wrong business. I'm not made for this. Then the senior partner invites him to go to the Wilmington Club, where no blacks, Catholics are allowed. They have not been allowed to be members. The DuPont family name. It's an old, rich Delaware family. Biden recalled being taken aback by the Wilmington Club invitation. And the only time I ever lied is I can remember look somebody in the eye. He made up a story that his father was coming to visit that day. He goes on and on. Let me skip ahead. And the whole point of telling you this is that I had a lot of material I kept notes on about the Democratic Party. And when he was 26 or 27, I went to work part-time for a criminal defense firm, mainly a real estate. There were 5 people, and so I was no longer a public defender. But he wanted to start his own law firm instead. So to make a long story short, he ended up running for city council, but he wanted to be sure I was going to lose. So he ran in a district that no Democrat had ever won, and I won it. And next thing you know, I'm in a tough position. 7 minutes of this, and everybody wonders, why did Hur say he was an elderly man with a poor memory? He's being exceedingly polite. He's bat leap crazy. All he had to say is, I had the papers I put in a cabinet or in a drawer or in a folder or on top of the refrigerator or under the sofa, wherever he was hiding the classified documents, just say where he put them. And instead, it was 7 pages worth of this. I'd read you all 7 pages, but you'd drive off the road and hit a tree. So just remember that next time you hear one of these phony, stupid TV debates about Biden's mind. It's gone. It's gone. More coming up.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences, with fewer people, and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at avalonwaterways.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, it looks like we have the final page, the final chapter of the great Oregon drug decriminalization experiment. Sometimes it might feel like California has the stupidest policies in America, that we have the most failures, that we have the most idiotic progressive ideas taken to their extreme. And we have a fair amount of that. We have a lot of failed, stupid, progressive ideas that they've put into law. There's no question. We live with the consequences every day. But Oregon beat us out when it came to decriminalizing drugs. And there was a ballot initiative only 4 years ago. It was called Measure 110. And it would it decriminalized possessing even hard drugs. You could have meth, cocaine, heroin, all of it. And at worst, you would get a ticket for $100. And you could get the $100 ticket waived if you called a toll-free number for a health assessment. And purpose that of that was they might be able to talk you into treatment once you dialed the hotline. Now, can you imagine how muddled your brain has to be to think that you, because Oregon has been beset by a massive number of people living and dying in the streets from drugs. There are lots of bodies piled up, especially in Portland. All right. So there were so many bodies piled up because they didn't enforce any laws. Right. So when you don't enforce any laws, here's what's happened. Of course, we knew that when we were kids. You knew all you had to do is sit through grade school. And if you had a strict teacher, the class was orderly. And if you had a teacher that was too lenient, the class was mayhem. You know, by the time you're 6, 7, 8 years old, you know that. Right. The more rules there are, reasonable rules, the more peaceful the class is and the more productive everyone is. But imagine how muddled all these silly progressive adults are that they think you can let people take as much cocaine, heroin, meth, fentanyl, LSD, Molly, all of it, and nothing bad's going to happen. What kind of feeble-minded fool do you have to be? I think a lot of the people who run Oregon are probably on drugs, have been on drugs for a long time, and have pretty extensive brain damage. Because nobody rational would think decriminalizing all drugs was going to turn out well. But hey. So in Oregon, they passed Measure 110 with 59% of the vote. That's a pretty big win, almost 60-40. And what happened? Well, they ended up with people laying in the streets, whacked out on heroin and fentanyl, or they're jacked up on meth and cocaine, and they're going crazy and slamming themselves into walls. And of course, there's a lot of crime, and of course, there's a lot of theft, shoplifting, burglaries. There's a lot of public intoxication. There's people urinating and defecating, right? Everything that came out of it was bad. Everything came out of it. And it's just fascinating to me that you can have millions of people in 2024 with all the education available, and they still would think having absolutely no public limits on drug possession and drug use would turn out well. Well, they got what they asked for. And again, the way it worked was no criminal penalties for possession of small amounts of meth, heroin, cocaine, fentanyl. And they were going to spend money on naloxone distribution, you know, that reverses fentanyl overdoses. That's right. Don't curb the possession of fentanyl. Spend more money on a drug that reverses the overdose. Okay. Anyway, but after 3 years of this disaster, 64% wanted the thing repealed. The progressives who promoted the bill originally said, why, this is a racial justice policy because a disproportionate amount of people of color were getting arrested on drug crimes. Well, the support for repeal was especially strong among Black and Hispanic citizens in Oregon. Their neighborhoods got the worst of it. If their neighborhoods had a disproportionate number of addicts, their neighborhoods ended up with a disproportionate number of people laying in the streets. Measure 110 did not reduce Oregon's drug problems. The drug overdose death rate increased by 43% in its first year and kept rising after that. The latest data showed that deaths by overdose grew 41% versus 2% nationwide. I think when you live in Los Angeles or San Francisco or Portland or Seattle, you don't understand that what you're experiencing is not being experienced in the other 47 states. It's simply not happening. The overdose deaths increased 2% nationwide, and in Oregon, 41%. Now, what was the only state that decriminalized all those drugs? It was Oregon. What a perfect test case for this progressive insanity. And that's why I'm kind of enjoying all this, because, you know, this had to happen. You had to say, fine, let's have it your way. You're always angry, agitating, yelling, calling everybody a bunch of racists because we have drug crimes. Fine, okay, let's do it your way. What's going to happen? What they ended up doing is they ended up killing more Black and Hispanic citizens. More Blacks and more Hispanics died because they criminalized drugs. Hey, that's equity. That's good. So instead of the criminal penalties, like I mentioned, you got a $100 ticket for drug possession. You get the fine waived if you call the toll-free number. 95% of people ignored the ticket. 95%, because there was no consequence. You got a $100 fine, but if you didn't pay it, they never came for you, which means there really was no fine. They had that hotline number. So few people called. Remember, these were drug addicts, that it cost $7,000 per completed phone call. $7,000. Huge open-air drug markets appeared. Sharp rise in violent crime. By the way, violent crime is falling around the nation. It's increasing sharply in Oregon. Why? Because you legalized drugs. They needed more money for those drugs. And in this story, which was written by someone in the drug treatment industry, pointed to one aspect that was overlooked. Fentanyl and meth addiction is not like having any other medical problem where you're motivated to seek treatment. It's not like being depressed. It's not like having chronic pain or cancer. There's a motivation there to seek treatment. But when you're addicted to drugs, every time you take a hit, it feels good. And if you're addicted, you don't want to give that up. See, an addict focuses on the moment he gets high. He doesn't think about the general state of his life dysfunction. He doesn't notice it anymore. He doesn't care about it anymore. All he's waiting for is the next high. And that's why virtually no one went for treatment in Oregon. Until they died in the streets. And enough people died in the streets that eventually the Oregonians realized, well, this isn't very compassionate. I mean, I'm a progressive and I believe in compassion. Right. They couldn't see that coming. More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
You know, often, and I'm guilty of this too, you hear about a store being broken into, and why is everyone just standing there? Why is it all people do are take out their phones? And, you know, there's this natural response to, hey, why doesn't somebody stop the thief? Why doesn't somebody help the woman out? Well, it's because this happens. We're going to play you a story from ABC 7. The reporter is Tim Pulliam. And here's what happened to a guy who wanted to be a good Samaritan and chased down a suspect who'd robbed a woman.
Brian Takoon snapping this image from his hospital bed, a painful reminder he survived a violent stabbing after helping a woman who had just been robbed.
I asked, you know, what had happened, and she told me she had been assaulted. The fellow down the street had brought her belongings and her cell phone.
Takoon says it happened last Sunday morning near Broadway and Pine in Long Beach, where he operates his food truck.
We got our medium pizza right here. Y'all check this out.
After seeing the woman in distress, Takoon says he hopped in his food truck and drove after the robber, catching the man near Lincoln Park. He says police arrived, taking the thief into custody.
You know, the brief scuffle, I felt like maybe I had dislocated my shoulder. I didn't really think too much of it.
Police say the woman suffered a minor injury, but within hours, he was in the hospital wounded from a punctured lung. After 3 days in the hospital, he says doctors believe it could take several weeks at home for a full recovery, his injuries forcing him to close his food truck.
You know, we're a small business, so definitely this is our only source of income. You know, what my family depends on, what my employees' families depend on as well.
The community rallying around Brian, his GoFundMe to support his medical bills and living expenses surpassing its goal.
I definitely appreciate everybody's donations and all the love and support. I really don't think I'm a hero or anything. You know, if I see something, I'm gonna do something. You know, it's just the way we were brought up.
I love that. Brian says once he's back on his feet, he wants to reopen his food truck with a celebration for the community. Police identify the robbery suspect as Alexander Pearson, a 29-year-old from L.A.
I like the reporter goes, I love that, because the guy said, oh, well, that's the way I was raised, you know, to help people. Oh, I love that. Yeah, except you end up with your lung getting punctured. You end up getting a deep stab wound. If your lung is punctured, he easily could have plunged the knife into your heart or an artery. Well, and you got to close your talk. It's really nice that, you know, the local people are contributing to his GoFundMe. But you end up he has to close his taco truck for weeks while he's healing. See, this is something the police are supposed to take care of. The police and law enforcement and the district attorney are supposed to create an environment where people don't do this that much. Because they're going to get caught and they're going to get thrown in prison and it's going to be a difficult, unpleasant experience. And so they decide not to do it again. But we don't have that system. So it leaves it to frustrated citizens who finally lose their temper and go chasing a bad guy down the street. And what do you get for it? You get a knife in the shoulder. You get a knife in the back. You get a punctured lung. Your business closes for weeks. And the reporter says, I love that. Yeah, buddy, you go do it. You go take on the next robber with your microphone and your notepad. See how that flies. All right, we come back. Michael Monks. This stuff is hard to believe.
But Monica Rodriguez is one of those dim-witted L.A. councilwomen. And she's got this great idea to fight homelessness. How about a new homeless agency in the city of Los Angeles? A new Department of Homelessness. How many thousands of employees do you think we have fighting homelessness? Well, she wants more. We didn't have a Department of Homelessness, I guess, because that's the official name in the press release. The Department of Homelessness. Who knew? That's coming up next. Michael Monks from KFI News is going to explain this. We have Sandy Wells live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences, with fewer people, and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand. It's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.